What is one thing your mom always says?
Get good grades and... stay healthy.
I remember one of the things that my mom used to say to me is that she encouraged us to eat things that were healthy. And when she would come across something that she really wanted us to eat, she would say, this is just pure health. This is, so good for you. You need this. So I remember the little saying, and she would say that all the time. This is pure health for you.
Do your chores.
Pick up stuff.
Us with the eyes too. That means do it. It's for homework, it's doing the laundry, cooking, anything. Till this day, that terrifies me in a funny way.
Probably do your chores and to drink like a really disgusting drink. That's good for you or something.
My mother was a very wise woman, and I once asked her what would be the most important thing about raising children that she had learned after raising six. Her answer was, if your child wants to do something, if there's no reason why not, say yes more often.
So my mom's really big on traditions, and one of my favorite ones that she does is for birthdays, she always says, eat cake for breakfast.
My mom says all the time, babe. So, hi babe, bye babe, I'll see you soon babe. And I realized I do the same thing. So now we both call everybody, babe.
Go do chores.
Go blow dry your hair.
One of the funnies my mom always says is, I'm sorry I missed your call, but my phone, something went wrong, it just didn't ring.
Go and sweep if you're so bored.
You back talking me?
She just yelled my name a lot.
Robin! Clean my room. Go clean your room.
Well, my mother's out in Texas, so she probably won't see this, so thank God. But love you, Ma. Happy Mother's Day. But one thing my mom always says is, Devin Anthony, and then followed by, don't say that, because Lord knows I don't have a filter on this mouth.
My mother always said, good night, nurse.
Go outside and climb a tree.
I love you.
Good morning, Parkway. So I have the privilege and honor of introducing our guest speaker, which Pastor Day did a little bit of, but I do have more to say. I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. I can't miss the opportunity to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom. I love you, babe. And I just wanted to introduce my friend. So she is a phenomenal speaker. You guys are in for a treat today. She teaches, she speaks, she's been a mentor, she's been our college age pastors. She's taught all three of our children. So like Pastor Jay said, she's been a big part of our lives, and she's always speaking truth and great things into people's lives. She is phenomenal in front of the platform, so I'm excited for you guys all to hear her today, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say. So please give a warm welcome to my friend, Miss Sandy Waters. Thank you.
Yeah, that's on. Oh, amen. Good morning. This is wonderful. Real quick, where's that bass player? Good job, buddy. I'm a little sensitive to the bass. My husband was a phenomenal bass player. And so I always hear it because he taught me to hear it, and you did a good job. So good job. Yes. Amen. The rest of the team was good too, right? But I tend to go toward that bass player. I'm so blessed to be here. I'm so honored. And I just really don't even have words, but I'm so grateful. And I love your pastors. And like Pastor Jay said, I've known them for a long time. more involved in Brooke when she was younger than Jay, but he was always around. And Brooke would come stay at my house. She is such a trooper. For my daughter's second birthday, she dressed up as Minnie Mouse. For my daughter's birthday, I know she was like holding the cake like, huh? And so she has been, they have both just been wonderful friends. And I am so grateful for them. I didn't really think of any funny stories, so I'm not going to tell any stories on you. But I will say, as Pastor Jay mentioned, my daughter, after she graduated high school, she went to Vacaville to join their intern program. And Pastor Jay and Brooke became really like second parents to her. She lived with them. And I am so, so grateful for the impact that you guys have had on my son, too. Boys and girls are different. You know that, right? My daughter was totally polar opposite of my son. So, but they're both my blessings. Amen. And I know just very few know who I am. And the path that I've walked, and we'll share a little bit about that later. But just quickly, I'll give you a short testimony. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, a religious home. I knew God, there was a God, and baby Jesus was in the manger, and that's all I knew. And when I was about 9 years old, a Sunday school bus would come through our neighborhood, Sunnyside Baptist Church. And my mom would put my brothers and I on the bus on Sundays. And that's when I first learned about Jesus. And I remember going into kids' church. And one day they asked if anybody wanted to receive Jesus. And I raised my hand, 9 years old. Didn't understand it. But they took us all to this, like, out and to the side, and I don't even remember what the prayer was, but the leader prayed with us. There was two other people with me, and she looked at us and she said, "Now, if you were to die right now, where would you go?" And I said, "Heaven." And she said, "That's right." And so I didn't know anything else, so I just went about my life, and I did things that teenagers do that don't know Jesus. And I remember, though, every night before I went to bed, I knew whatever I had done that day, I would lay down and I'd say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart." I knew that much. And as I got older, my older brother had gotten saved, and he told me about this church in Marysville that it was amazing. And I was kind of like, yeah. And so for the summer between my sophomore and junior year, I had just been heartbroken. Boy had just broken my heart, and I just wanted to get away. So he said, "Come up here." And so I was living in Modesto. I went to stay with my brother and stayed there for a couple months, actually, going back and forth. And I actually didn't give my heart to the Lord until I was on my way home, and I went to a Leon Patillo concert. Tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are. And it was in a big, huge church, and I was up in the balcony. And when they gave the call for the altar call, I went down. And I just said, "God, I don't know anything about this, but I want to surrender my life." And I did, and I've never looked back. And that was when I was 16 years old. And God has been faithful, and he has walked with me through every valley, on every mountaintop, and no regrets. I've done some dumb things, you know, that I wish I could take back, but never. Serving the Lord has never been a regret. So I am blessed. I actually have a couple pictures I brought with me to show you how blessed I am. Those are my babies. And so it's Brixton. Everett didn't want his picture taken, can you tell? It's Brixton, Everett, and Walker, and I am Lolly. And my husband was Pop, but Pop's not here anymore. But those are my wonderful babies. And I have another one. So this was actually our first Thanksgiving without Pop. And so we took a picture. Aren't they the most beautiful things you've ever seen? I know yours are beautiful too, but I'm telling you. And then this one, I have to explain this next one. I said, "Okay, everybody, just laugh as hard as you can." And so we all just laughed, and my daughter got a picture of us, and so that's one of my favorites. And then this last one, this is us. And that's my son on the far left, and my daughter, my son-in-law, me, and then my three babies again. And I'm grateful, so grateful that God has blessed me with these wonderful humans. And so that's me. Now, you know a little bit about me. But before I get into the message, I want to share a funny story with you. It's one of my favorites. I've shared it before. Some of my California friends might remember it, but it's appropriate for today. It's called Jack the Cat. So we had this great 10-year-old cat named Jack who just recently died. Jack was a great cat, and the kids would carry him around and sit on him, and nothing ever bothered him. He used to hang out and nap all day long on his mat in our bathroom. Well, we have three kids, and at the time of this story, they were 4 years old, 3 years old, and 1 year old. The middle one is Eli. Eli really loves chapstick, loves it. He kept asking to use my chapstick and then would lose it. So finally, one day, I showed him in the bathroom where I keep my chapstick and how he could use it whenever he wanted to, but he needed to put it right back in the drawer when he was done. Well, last year on Mother's Day, we were having the typical rush around trying to get ready for church with everyone crying and carrying on, and my two boys are fighting over the toy in the cereal box. I'm trying to nurse my little one at the same time I'm putting on my makeup. Everything is a mess, and everyone has long forgotten that this is a wonderful day to honor me and the amazing job that is motherhood. We finally have the older one and the baby loaded in the car, and I'm looking for Eli. I have searched everywhere, and I finally round the corner to go into the bathroom, and there sits Eli, applying my chapstick very carefully to Jack's rear end. Eli looks at me and he says, "Chapped." He points to Jack's bottom and he says, "Chapped." Now, if you have a cat, you know that he's right. Their little rear ends do look pretty chapped. And frankly, Jack didn't seem to mind. And the only question to really ask at that point was to whether it was the first time Eli had done that to the cats behind, or the 100th. And that is my favorite Mother's Day story. Yes. Because it reminds us that no matter how we try to civilize these glorious little creatures, there will always be that day when you realize they've been using your chapstick on the cats behind. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. And I know it's been said many times, but happy Mother's Day to all the moms, all the grandmas, all the aunts, all the sisters, all the cousins, all the best friends, and all the mentors. I honor you all for your role in shaping lives, your love, your resilience, and your faithfulness. I found a quote. It says, "Mothers have an undeniable impact on our lives, whether through words, sacrifices, or silent strength. They shape who we are in ways we don't often fully realize until later in life." And those of us that are a little older can say amen, right? As I began to pray for this message after Brooke had got a hold of me, and the story immediately dropped in my heart because I'd already been researching it and I'd already been reading into it. And I wanted to create more and get more. And then when she asked me, I said, okay, I know what I'm supposed to talk about. In the Bible, there's a mother that we rarely talk about on Mother's Day. When I began this study, I saw her in a different light. I had read her story many times and had formed my opinions and my judgments. She is known by one title, Job's wife. We remember her for one sentence. If you've read the Bible, if you've read the story of Job, you know. One sentence, one phrase. And I don't know about you, but I was appalled the first time I read that many years ago. I judged her because of what she said. And I know that there's scripture about the heart, you know, out of the abundance of the heart. I know there's a lot of different ways you could look at this, but I'm just thinking in the moment when we say things. But I never considered was her suffering. Job's wife was not just a wife, she was a mother. So quickly, the story of Job. If you're not familiar with it, if you are, Job lives in Uz and is described as blameless, upright, God-fearing, and shunning evil. He was the man, right? He had a wonderful reputation. He's wealthy, he's respected, he has a large family, and there's so much more to this story. I encourage you to read it again and revisit it. So there's this heavenly scene going on, and Satan comes before God and challenges Job's integrity, arguing that Job only loves God because his life is blessed. God allows Satan to test Job, but not take his life. In one devastating day, Job loses his livestock, his servants, his wealth, and all 10 of his children to raiders and natural disasters. Job mourns deeply, but he still worships God, the Bible says. Satan is permitted to strike again, and Job is covered with painful sores. Job's wife is overwhelmed by grief, watching her husband suffer, and she says, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." And that's found in Job chapter 2, verse 9. Now, let's be honest. We've all said things that we've regretted. It came out of our mouths and we instantly regretted it. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. All of us have said things. I don't know how Job's wife felt. It doesn't say. I don't know if she instantly regretted what she said. I don't know if she just walked away and didn't care. But I do believe she was speaking from a place of grief. So let's recap from scripture. Job's wife lost everything that Job did. Job's wife lost 10 children in one day. When we hear her say, "Curse God and die," we often hear rebellion. But perhaps what we're hearing is a shattered mother's heart. A mother's love runs deep, which means a mother's grief runs deep too. Some mothers carry grief quietly, and I've learned this, grief is different for everyone. So I just want to share some thoughts today. I know it might be a little heavy. It won't always be heavy here. Things that will hopefully challenge us to think about the possibilities of what Job's wife went through. And my first point is mothers carry deep love and deep grief. Moms carry deep love, and somehow kids have a built-in radar for it. It's almost supernatural. Children will walk right past a perfectly capable father, a fully functioning sibling, and sometimes even the family dog, just to find mom, right? Kids will walk past dad, sitting on the couch, doing absolutely nothing, and come to find mom in the shower to ask if they can have a snack. If a child wakes up at 2 a.m., 10 a.m. is different. If a child wakes up sick at 2 a.m., they don't go to dad's side of the bed. Oh, no, they go to mom's side. The side with the emotional support, the compassion, and apparently the 24-hour urgent care, right? Kids know that mom knows where everything is. Even things she's never seen. Getting ready to go, and the kid says, "I can't find my shoe." And mom walks right to it, picks it up. And if you're like me, and I do this to my students too, because they never can find their homework. But my kids, when they couldn't find something, I would say, "Okay, I'm going to go in your room, and if I find it, you owe me $5. And so I never got paid $5, so they would go find it, right? But moms know where everything is. Kids know that mom is the best owie inspector. Dad might say, "You're fine. Shake it off. You'll live. This is my favorite. Rub some dirt on it." If they're outside, right? I don't know if any of you have ever been told that. But a mom will examine the injury, blow on it, kiss it, apply Neosporin or Mercuricome, as my mom would do. Again, saying my age here. I had to look that up to see how to pronounce that. That's a hard word. It's like Worcestershire, right? She'll apply a Band-Aid and then somehow heal the child's entire spirit. Mom translates gibberish. A kid might go, right? Mom says, "Oh, she's saying she wants the purple cup, not the pink one." Everyone else is like, "What? What?" And that's with Walker right now. He's going to be three, and he's learning how to, I mean, he talks pretty well. I still can't understand him. And he'll tell me, and I go, what? Bluey? No. What? Bobby? Who? What? And my mom will go, "Spidey." Oh, okay. And she'll tell me what Walker's saying. I don't understand it. Mom knows the snack schedule, the hungry but not that hungry snack, the I'm so sad I need crackers snack, I'm so bored I need fruit snack, and the I'm stalling bedtime snack. Mom can fix anything with a wet wipe or a thumb and a lick, right? That same love that draws children to their mother's side at 2 a.m. is the love that makes a mother's grief run deep. You can't have one without the other. The depth of a mother's love is the very thing that makes her heart so vulnerable. So back to Job's wife. She wasn't just another woman in a tragic story. She was a mother who lost all 10 of her children. Her grief wasn't weakness. It was the overflow of a heart that had loved deeply. If children run to their mother's side for every scraped knee, every nightmare, every stomach ache, imagine the weight of a mother's heart when the wounds are ones she cannot fix. The deeper the love, the deeper the loss. Job mourned his children, but their mother carried them for months. She raised them. She nurtured them. And listen, being pregnant is not for the weak. Am I right? Those of you? It's not easy. I was blessed. I had a pretty easy pregnancy. I know many of my friends have gotten really sick, but I was blessed. However, I gained a few pounds, just a few. And when I would go to the doctor, you know, you got to go every month, and then it starts to be every 2 weeks. And I said, I was big. I was a big girl when I got my daughter. And it wasn't twins. And so my doctor would get on me about weight. And he goes, a woman told me one time, "Oh, it's all baby. It's all baby." And he goes, "Ma'am, I've never delivered a 30-pound baby." Right? So I was like, okay. And side note, I had to hide the Snickers wrappers in my purse. Because my husband would find him, he'd go, "What's this?" Oh, it's not for the weak. Pregnancy takes resilience. Deep grief doesn't mean weak faith. Grief and faith are not opposites. Job's wife shows us that grief can coexist with belief, even when it sounds messy. Mothers today know this tension. Loving deeply means hurting deeply. Faith doesn't erase pain. It carries us through. Tears don't mean failure. They mean love was real. And if you know me, you know I'm a crier. I cry at everything. Years ago, we went to Disneyland, and we're watching the parade. And I'm just enamored with the parade. And I'm getting all choked up at all these characters walking by. And I got my Haley there, and I'm just, you know, and I look back, and Rodney's got this big old chocolate ice cream just, and I'm over here crying. And my husband and my daughter and son both, they're not really criers. I was the crier of the family. But it doesn't mean that I was weak. I learned that, right? It meant my love was real. Number two, even faithful women have moments when grief shakes them. Many women feel pressure to always be strong. In Scripture, we see faithful women struggle. Sarah, Naomi, Ruth, Hannah, Hagar, Rizpah. There's somebody, if you haven't read, you need to read her story. It's crazy. Bathsheba, Mary, Martha, and there's so many others. Grief has a way of shaking even the strongest faith. Many of you here today, faithful women, are faithful women who have experienced grief. Job holds on to faith. His wife struggles underneath the weight of grief. Same loss, different response. Job's wife shows us that pain can speak louder than faith in certain moments. Moments do not define a lifetime. I want to take a moment to let you in on my journey for the past 25 months. Whew. Because this message isn't just something I've studied, it's something I've lived. As Pastor Jay told you, my husband, he was just a phenomenal man. And he was a phenomenal man of God. And he was a worship leader, and he was a bass player. And he was a student of the word. And he became sick. And I began to understand grief in a way I had never before. I'd been in ministry for almost 40 years, and I had the joy of doing that side by side with my husband, the love of my life, my soulmate, my best friend. I met him when I was 16, shortly after I had gotten saved, and I knew he was the one I was going to marry. I don't think I was the chosen one for him, but God knew. We built a life and a ministry together. We had dreams of growing old while serving the Lord together. He loved Jesus with all his heart, and he loved people deeply. He had a strong spirit and a gentle strength that everyone could count on. Many of you here know him. You knew him. I began to notice small things that he would do. I didn't think much about it. He's a guy. He's forgetful. That's what people would tell me. Go, just get yourself a whiteboard. You know, put reminders on it. In August of 2021, we received a diagnosis that would change everything. Early onset Alzheimer's. My husband was 59 years old. It was a devastating blow. One of those moments where life as you know it splits in two. My pastor friend Joe Antikyer, who had lost his wife, describes it like this. He said, you're just going on living life, doing ministry, enjoying your family. In one moment, everything gets turned upside down. It's like a sock in the mouth. And yet, even as the disease progressed, my husband continued to reflect the love of Jesus in quiet, powerful ways. On April 16th, 2024, I had to say goodbye. After nearly 41 years of being together, I lost the person that knew me best, the one I thought I'd finish life's race with. The past 2 years have been a valley I never imagined I'd be walking through. Grief, loneliness, unanswered questions, and yet God has walked with me every step of the way. Grief doesn't always sound strong or spiritual. Believe me, the last thing I have felt is spiritual. Sometimes grief simply sounds broken. But I have comforting news. My third point, God is compassionate toward broken hearts. The beautiful truth of Scripture is that God is near the hurting. Psalm 34:18 has become a lifeline for me. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. This reveals a compassionate God. God was near to Job, and I believe, I am certain, that he was also near to Job's wife. Here's what we often miss. She stayed. She didn't leave. If you read the end of the story, she's still there. And God gives them blessings beyond whatever they could even imagine. She remained with him in the ashes. The woman remembered for one sentence in weakness was also a woman of presence. We remember her words, but we forget her faithfulness sometimes. Instead of condemning Job's wife, we can learn something important. Grieving people need compassion, not criticism. Until I experienced loss, I did not understand this. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Galatians 6, 9, and 10. "And let us not grow weary while doing good," right, Pastor? "For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And even Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn," right? "For they will be comforted," he said. And Paul says that we are to weep, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We do have a job, friends, with people that are grieving. Pastor Brooke, would you mind coming to the keyboard? For generations, people have judged Job's wife for one sentence spoken in grief. But perhaps instead of criticizing her, we should recognize her. We should all recognize one another. She was a mother sitting in the ashes of unimaginable loss. And if there are mothers here today, which I'm sure there are, whose hearts feel heavy, whose faith feels tired, whose grief still lingers, maybe you have worries about your children, young and adults. Listen, I thought little ones were hard. Nothing compares to adult children, worrying about your adult children. But this time you can't really tell them what to do. Give them to Jesus. Maybe you have heartbreak over a prodigal child. Or you have the loss of a loved one. You have exhaustion from caregiving. God sees every one of those tears. He is Elroy, the God who sees me. You are not forgotten. Remember, he is near to the brokenhearted. I don't think it just means that he's near. He's over there, over yonder. He's here. He's right by you. Sometimes faith looks strong like Job, and sometimes faith looks fragile like his wife. But God is compassionate toward both. And I'm going to ask as I close, I'm just going to ask all the women, not just moms, I'm going to ask all the women to stand. Because I'm going to speak to you in these last moments. Would you stand? To the woman who may not have children of your own, but you show up as an aunt, as a mentor, you show up as a safe place to those children. You listen, you encourage, you love someone else's child like it was your own. Keep going. To the friends who step in, who check in, who pray for each other's children, who carry burdens together, you may not always get recognized for it, but what you're doing matters. Keep going. To the women who pour into others, who guide, who teach, who speak life and truth, You are shaping lives in ways you may never fully see. Keep going. To the mothers who are in the middle of it all, loving, giving, caring so much every single day, even when you're tired, even when you wonder if you are enough, you are. Keep going. And to the grandmas, the nanas, the mimis, the gigis, the mimas, the lollies, the nonas, and whatever name you are called. Some of you are just starting out in this position. And there's those who have loved for decades, who have prayed countless prayers, who are still showing up, still caring, still believing. Your love has built a legacy. Your faith has carried generations, grandmas. Don't ever forget that. And even now, it still matters. Keep going. To all of you, your prayers, your words, your love, your faith are shaping generations. Even if you don't see the fruit right away, God is working through you. Keep passing down faith because it will outlive you in ways you may never imagine. I've learned this. Even when grief is heavy, love doesn't disappear. It remains, it stays, and by God's grace, so do we. Can I pray for you today? Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, today we come to you with grateful hearts for the gift of mothers, grandmothers, and every woman who loves and cares for others so deeply, for their love, their sacrifice, and the quiet ways they give of themselves every single day. But Lord, you see what others may not see. You see the mothers who are grieving, the ones carrying heavy hearts, the ones who feel tired, overwhelmed, or unseen. And God, we thank you that you are near to the brokenhearted. For every woman here today, whether she feels strong in her faith or fragile in her spirit, would you meet her right where she is at? Give her strength where there is weariness. Give her peace where there is pain. Give her hope where there is heaviness. Remind her that she is not alone, that you see her, that you care, and you are walking with her even in the ashes or even on the mountaintop. And Lord, help us to be people who sit with one another in love, to offer compassion instead of judgment and presence instead of answers. We trust you. I trust you with every heart in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Pastor.
Incredible job. All right, would everyone stand back up, please? Getting ready to dismiss. I have never really heard that incredible story in that kind of context before, but I'm thankful for that perspective. And I was reminded of Job 42 and 10. And it's the thing that hinges that whole story. And I don't know if you guys have ever read it this way, but I think it was just applicable to end our service today. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. The door of victory, walking through grief or hard times, is recognizing that God does not create victims. He creates victors. And that if you're walking through it in Jesus' name, you're not going to get stuck in it, but you're going to go through it. And what a promise that we have from our Heavenly Father is that the church is not full of people who have to be stuck, but we're people that are walking through the other side in Jesus' name. The Bible says we're not just conquerors. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors. And I want to thank you, every one of you men, for allowing us to honor the women of God that are in this room. Would you guys give a big round of applause for all these women of God that are here today? I promised the Lord when I came here almost 4 years ago that there wouldn't be a moment that would pass that we wouldn't give an opportunity to somebody to say yes to Jesus. I can't say that I've batted 1,000% on that, but it's been pretty close. And what I will say today is that the Lord is near you if you desire for Him to be near you. He's close to you. And so with your heads bowed and your eyes closed all across this room, you say, Pastor, I just recognize today that my heart needs healing, my heart needs hope, and that can only be found in Jesus. I don't believe that you're here by accident. I believe that today was a divine appointment for many of you, or some of you, or one of you, to say that I want to give my heart to Jesus. And maybe you're like Sandy, who said, I don't even really know what's going on, but I know I can trust the God that I know in this moment. And so, Lord, if you're really real, would you show yourself real to me? And I believe that there's at least one here today who is ready not to just to get stuck in their grief or recognize their grief, but to begin to walk through it by holding the hand of Jesus. And so your head's bowed, your eyes are closed all across this room. Christians praying, you say, Pastor, it's me. I want to make sure today that I make sure that heaven's going to be my home. My heart's right before God, that I confess that I am in need of a Savior. If that's you, would you stretch up your hand so I can see it and you can put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I see you in the upper deck, young man. Thank you. Anybody else? You say, Pastor, it's me. I need to give my heart right with the Lord. Thank you, young man. I see your hand. I see your hand, sir. Thank you. The greatest thing that you'll ever do is give your heart to Jesus. Church, would you take your right hand and put it over your heart? And just, man, as a sign of confidence and belief, that just like God did it for you, He's going to do it for these five individuals that just raised their hand. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize my need of you. My sin has messed a lot of things up. And I'm thankful for Jesus, who takes that mess and can turn it into a miracle. So this morning, I give my heart to you. Everything that I am, for everything that you are. Jesus, don't just be my Savior, but be my Lord. You can have it all. I confess. I believe and I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for the finished work of the cross and the victory of the tomb so that I could have victory out of mine. And I pray this in Jesus' matchless name. And everybody says, would you welcome those five to the family of God? So incredible. Best that I could do is an invitation. You five that raised your hand, and I know some of you are rededicating your life, but I believe that there are some in this room that are giving their heart to Jesus for the first time. We have an incredible team called the Yes Team. What you just did is you said yes to Jesus. And we have a Yes Team that would love to hang out with you, take you to a cup of coffee, just describe to you what that journey is going to be like for you. We don't claim to have all the answers, and we're not the Bible answer people, but we do have a little more answers probably than you do, just because we've been walking along this journey. If you would like to, the best I can do is invite, if you would like to meet with one of the pastors and staff or one of the members of our Yes Team, the best way to get in contact is run straight to the hub out in the back. And they're just say, hey, I just gave my heart to Jesus and I want to talk to someone about the decision I just made. And we don't believe that this walk is supposed to be done alone. We believe we're supposed to do this thing together. And what an incredible, incredible opportunity it would be to be able to walk this road with you as a believer together. So the Bibles that are in front of you, if you don't have a Bible, they're free for your taking. They're not just meant there to collect dust. But if you would like that Bible, it's free of charge. Again, there's no free lunch. There's no free Bibles. We'll pay for it. But we want to make sure that you have the Word of God in your hand. Would you guys give Sandy Waters a big round of applause for bringing that incredible Word to us today? Incredible. All right, let me pray over you in team break, and we're going to go invade all the restaurants in this area, right? And make sure you're not one of those stingy Christians that doesn't leave a good tip, all right? If you leave a bad tip, make sure you don't tell them you came to our church service today, all right? Tell them you went to another church, and you can be stingy on their behalf. But someone's mom's working today at a restaurant, so make sure you bless those moms. Lord, we thank you for the men and women of God that are in this room. We thank you for your timely word. And Lord, we thank you for the promise that as we step out of that place of grief and loss, that we recognize that there's the other side to it that can reach through. And as I was watching that scripture come alive in front of me, knowing what my friend has gone through, the many sleepless nights, the tears that shed, the loneliness. And Lord, as I watched her grab this pulpit today and speak and encourage the life of people around her, I heard that promise coming through that you're just getting started with this woman of God, of what she's got, what you got planned for her. And Lord, many are the victories to come, but Father, never let us lose the lessons that we learned along the way to be able to teach people that they don't have to be victims, but they could be victors in Jesus' name. And we thank you for what you're doing, seen and unseen, in this church. And I pray a blessing on our people as they go. And we pray this in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, hey, this pastor loves you. We appreciate you. We got a wonderful month planned. Be blessed today. Enjoy your day with moms.
Children and their children and their children.